You may be seated. Thank you, Don. Thank you, choir, praise team. If you were with us a few weeks ago, we began a little series on the church and your service and your ministry and why you do what you do for the Lord. 2 weeks ago, we talked about your spiritual growth as a believer. We talked about the reality that instruction was not enough. Just coming and sitting in a church and sitting in a Sunday school class or whatever was not going to enable you to grow necessarily as a believer. It was involvement that was with that instruction. It's what are you doing with what you're hearing would create that spiritual growth. And then last week we looked at the church that Christ builds. If our service and our ministry and our involvement is in church, what kind of church does it need to be? What kind of church is being built here at Eastwood Baptist Church on a weekly, daily basis? And then today I want us to look at why we do what we do. What's your motivation for being here today? What got you up this Sunday morning? What made you do what you're going to do throughout the course of today? And not only today, but maybe on a Tuesday or a Wednesday night or a Friday morning or a Saturday. Whatever ministry that you do, whatever activity of serving the Lord you do, what's your motivation for that? Well, there's a big difference between serving God to get acceptance and serving God because you are accepted. Big difference. Why do you serve? Whatever responsibility you may have at Eastwood, what's your motivation for that? Is it to gain acceptance? Is it to get a few more brownie points with God? Or because perhaps you're motivated in your relationship to Him and in your deep heart's desire, that's what drives you to do what you do? Or is it to please somebody? Is it because somebody just asked you to do something, that's your motivation? Well, there's another problem that's, I think, plagues this area of service and ministry in the church. I think it's getting worse and worse with each passing year, and that is getting people to serve at all. Now, that's always been around, but I think it's worse today than ever. The I'll let somebody else do it mentality, or my personal favorite, I'm too busy. Well, can we just get this out on the table? We're all too busy. Everybody is. That's just life in the 21st century today. But that's something that we constantly hear. Or that's not my gift, so I'm off the hook. And it's that old 20-80 rule, 20% of the people doing 80% of the work, or 20% of the people giving 80% of the resources, or 20% of the people serving in this, and the other 80 are just watching. I don't think that's true at this church. I hope it's not true. Whatever that percentage is, I'll let you figure that out. But if you're one of the larger majority that's not pulling your weight, this is for you today especially. Whether those percentages are high or low, who knows? I hope it's always growing and expanding, but regardless, they're all excuses that you hear in church for not doing what the Lord's called us to do. So for the next few minutes, I want to talk about the rewards of service and then the blessings that will come your way when you do that. First, let me just say this statement, which we shouldn't have to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway because it does unfortunately come up in church life today, and that is this: your salvation is never ever a reward for services rendered. You if you're thinking that's maybe why you're doing what you're doing, so you'll impress God or God will like what you're up to a little more and so salvation will be rewarded to you, you're not even in the right ballpark. It has nothing to do with that. The gift of salvation is just that. It is a gift that God offers you in response to your acceptance of His Son and committing your life to Him. That's salvation. But unfortunately, that does float around in church life, and so we just need to say that. So as we talk about rewards, and as we talk about service, and as we talk about ministry, we're not talking about rewards or service or ministry that will gain you eternal life. Two different things. But rewards that will be yours for eternity when you stand in the presence of the Lord. First, what I want us to look at today, find Hebrews chapter 6. That's where we'll be most of our time. Hebrews chapter 6 is the integrity of God is at stake. The integrity of God is at stake when it comes to your rewards, your service, and your ministry. Hebrews chapter 6, beginning in verse 7. For the ground that drinks the rain, which often falls upon it and brings forth vegetation useful for those for whose sake it is also tilled, receives a blessing from God. But if it yields thorns and thistles, it is worthless and close to being cursed, and it ends up being burned. Verse 9. But, beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation through we are speaking in this way. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love of which you have shown toward his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. In verse 12, that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Did you catch verse 10? For God is not unjust so as to forget your work. And somebody says, no, wait a minute, Lane. Wait. I didn't think you did what you do for the Lord in church just to get rewarded. And I would agree with that. But regardless of what you and I think about it, it is very clear in multiple pages of Scripture that in the mind of God, the rewards He gives you on the basis of your service and your ministry as a child of His is a big deal to God. Aside from your motivation, just dealing with the Lord here only, it's a big deal of what you do for Him in His mind. Rewards are serious business to God. The integrity of God is on the line when it comes to rewarding you for your service and your ministry and your labor in the harvest for Him. Now, I would say if it's important to Him, it ought to be important to us. Whatever's important to God ought to be important to us. So let's look at a few other passages. Hold your place there in Hebrews. Turn with me back to 1 Corinthians for a moment. 1 Corinthians. Some extra passages will shed a little more light on this subject for us. 1 Corinthians, you know this passage well. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 and following. Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold and silver and precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, let each man's work become evident, for the day will show it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. Verse 14, and if any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. In other words, if you don't have anything to show for the Lord, you're getting in, but the door's going to get you in the rear on the way in. That's you just barely getting there. One more, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8. Knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. Now, what's Paul saying in these passages? We're going to receive back many times over what we have done. In the judgment, we're going to be rewarded, but there could also be the reality of loss. The reality of what could have been. The reality of what you blew in this life. Not condemnation, not discipline, but the reality of the disappointment of what you could have done. One more, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Timothy 4, 8. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. All throughout the epistles, we find the Lord talking about rewards, Paul talking about rewards. And then notice the very absolute last chapter in the Bible, Revelation 22, verse 12. The words of our Lord, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. One of the first things you are going to receive when you see the Lord Jesus Christ will be your rewards. To render to every man according to what he's done. Now, if God has made promise after promise after promise after promise from multiple writers of Scripture, for him to forget what he has promised, as we saw in Hebrews, he will not forget your work, would be a reflection upon the integrity of God, and that's not going to happen in a negative way. God's going to remember that. Whatever it is you're doing at Eastwood Baptist Church, whatever it is you might be doing outside of Eastwood Baptist Church in the area of ministry, God's not going to forget it. What you may think or man may think as a small, menial task, maybe it's to make coffee before your small group time. He's keeping track of that. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to turn lights on here. Somebody's got to close up here. And here we go. And everywhere in between, what all that goes on from beginning to end, somebody's got to do that. I said a couple of weeks ago, I believe the most common spiritual gift in the body of Christ is the gift of helps. Without that, just see what happens on a Sunday. Not much. Everybody else can be ready to do their thing, but if the people with the gift of helps don't show up, we are in trouble. So let me give you some concerns about this area of service and ministry. There are obvious things that we need to be aware of as times of our service and ministry to the Lord. Number one, which is obvious for many of us that have been doing this a long time, is that we get tired and weary. It can be burdensome at times. It can be where we're just kind of going through the motions and that enthusiasm is not there. That zeal wanes. We get tired and weary. And it can be a good kind of tired and weary because of what we've been doing, but it's a reality. Number two, we may not see any rewards or blessings from it on our timetable. We are an instant automatic gratification society today. And sadly, we carry that into the church and we assume God operates just like that. In other words, it doesn't come when I thought it ought to come. Lord, I'm serving over here. I'm doing this. I've been laboring for you. I've been working and I've been doing this for years and years. And why aren't you blessing me? And we have difficulties with that a lot of times because we don't see that our schedule matches up with the Lord's schedule. A third concern is the reward that we receive wasn't what I expected. Well, Lord, I thought if I'm serving over here, if I'm doing this and I've been doing this and I've been really working for you, that you'd bless me over here. But yet a blessing came back over here. Well, that's fine. I'm not upset about that, Lord, but I really wanted this over here. And it's not where we wanted it. The mentality of, I thought if I sacrificed here and served here, you'd bless me here. We might find ourselves serving for years and years and years before we see any reward or blessing in our life. And let me just say this, some of your rewards are destined for eternity. They're not going to be here. It takes a mature man or woman of God to say, I'm going to serve here till God calls me home, whether I see the reward here or in the hereafter. It takes a mature man or woman to be able to do that because the pressures of what we see in our culture and our society fight against that. I mean, everything's automatic and instant today. We have a 30-second commercial mentality. We start it and we want it done in 30 seconds. And God doesn't operate like that. Fourth concern is that sometimes the reward doesn't come because we can't handle it. He knows what's best, and he'll send it our way when he knows we are ready for God's best. Now, don't get all spiritual on me, because you do that with your own kids and your grandkids, don't you? You know they're not ready for certain things, even though they're wanting it. But you're not going to give it to them. You don't give the car keys to your 8-year-old, even though they might want them. They're not ready for them. And God knows when we're ready. And he knows what our motivation was. He knows what drove us to do this. And he's not going to give that to us. Some things are just not the right timing. And don't worry, my friend. He says he's not going to forget what you're doing. He's a way better mathematician than any of us are. He's keeping a good count of what you're doing. So we see that the integrity of God is at stake in this area of rewards. Second area I want us to look at is our motivation. What are you doing all this for? The most beautiful, satisfying cycle of blessings that come our way is when you and I, in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, serving Him, teaching for Him, working for Him, doing whatever it is we do, and we see others blessed because of that, and then we see the blessings and the rewards come back to us. That's what we like to see when it's on our timetable. Now, I can do what I do at Eastwood. You can do what you do at Eastwood for any number of motivations. Basically, the two primary reasons of why we do what we do here at Eastwood is I can serve out of love, because I love the Lord Jesus Christ, I love this church, I love the people of this church, or I can serve out of duty. I can serve out of duty. Well, come on, honey, let's go, let's head on down to church. I guess it's my time to take this role this morning at 9:30. Come on, let's go, I guess we got to do it. Well, bless your heart. I guess our motivation may be just slightly out of kilter at that moment. And what we'll do, we'll shortchange ourselves of possibly the greatest reward if we let that mindset take over, that I guess it's my time to do it. Come on, honey, let's go. Somebody's got to do it. I might as well be the one to be the most spiritual one around here, and I'll do it. But there's also a third motivation. Not only out of love, not only out of duty, but some people serve out of fear. Some people serve out of fear. I better do that, or God's going to get me. I better do that, or I may be under the judgment of God. Now, sometimes a healthy dose of reverence and awe for the Lord is okay and can be a valuable thing in our service. But how do you make that, wonder how that makes God feel when you do what you do because you think He's got a big stick up there and He's going to get you if you don't do that? How would you think if your kids and your grandkids obeyed you because they only did that because they were scared to death of you? Now, some dads could care less. Hey, if it gets the job done, let's do it. But that's not the healthy way to do it. And I can assure you, spiritually, if we're serving out of fear, we have missed the Christian life. That is not our motivation. Hold your place there and look with me at 1 John chapter 4, I believe it is. Yes. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. By this love is perfected with us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as He is, so also we are in this world. In other words, John is saying we are to have confidence when we stand before the Lord. Not fear, not cowering fear of, oh God, I hadn't done this, I hadn't done that, I'm going to be in trouble. Oh God, I can't believe I'm going to be on the day of judgment, it's going to be awful. No. John says, by this love is perfected with us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Now, if you and I every now and then, and we've all seen folks like this, maybe that's been us, where we don't think we're getting enough recognition here at Eastwood Baptist Church. In fact, I don't know if anybody appreciates me here at Eastwood. In fact, I may just call one of the staff members. In fact, the more I think about it, I think I'm just going to quit next week. In fact, that's what I'm going to do. Next Sunday, that's going to be my last Sunday. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not getting enough recognition around here. They don't thank me enough around here. I think I'm just going to quit next week. And before long, you have worked yourself up into a full lather, and you have just having one big pity party, because you don't think you're getting the recognition here at Eastwood that you deserve. They don't appreciate me. They don't. Just let them try one week to do this without me, and on and on and on. And Satan's just pouring the gasoline on the fire. Now, I will be the first to admit, we in Baptist churches do not thank people enough and have a recognition of the blessings of ministry that go on in churches. I'll be the first to admit that. We do not do that. In fact, if you serve in any way this church, I don't care if you hold a door like this brother right back here and greets me every time I come in on Sunday morning, or you turn lights on, or you turn lights off, or you teach Sunday school class, you sing up here, you do something of ministry here, would you stand up? It don't matter what it is, something. Work back here in the sample. Stand up, guys. You're back there serving. Okay, let's thank them. Thank you. That may be all you get in 2015. I don't know. Hopefully not. But if you've moved to the level of they don't appreciate me, I don't get thanked enough, I assure you, my friend, your motivation is way out of line. And to be honest with you, we got some folks who have served and served and served and done this and done that and taught here and sung here and over, and they need a little relief. They do. They need a little relief. They need a little sabbatical. And some of you, God bless you, that didn't stand, you need to be a backup. You need to get in the ball game. There are places for you to find your giftedness and your area of ministry. But if your motivation is to always be in the limelight, always get the pat on the back, always get the attaboys, it's time to check your motivation, because it's all wrong. Now, I'm all for encouragement, and we should do that, but we need to check what our motivation was for why we want the encouragement and the attaboys in the first place. I don't believe I have ever had to say to anyone, ever all my years of being on local church staff, somebody come up to me and say, "Brother Lane, this is something that the Lord's been kind of sharing with me, and I've been thinking about doing this. Could you find a place of service and ministry for me in this church?" And I'll say, "Okay, let me get back with you as soon as I do that." And I finally get back with them, and I go, "You know what? I've been looking this church up one side, down the other. We ain't got a stinking thing for you to do around here." I have never had to say that. Never had to say that. In fact, I got two or three other churches I could recommend that I do know they've got some. No, I'm not going to say that. There is something to do here at Eastwood Baptist Church. Get off the bench. Get in the ball game. We got enough spectators. Growing up, being on church staff in my early years of ministry, my kids grew up. Some of the folks here know my two kids well when they were little. And as most staff kids are, that's their home away from home is church. You know, they're basically at church as much as they are at the house. And when my son was, I want to say 7, maybe 8, of course he was there every time the doors were open, as we were, and early on I knew the Lord was going to do something with him unique, and he was the first one ready for church basically every Sunday. And one day he announced to Becky and I that he felt he knew what God wanted him to do. And we're like, "Man, 7, 8 years old, wow, this is gonna be good." And so a few days later, he finally came back, made his big announcement. Now he's kind of the detailed, intellectual kind of guy that he's gonna dot every I across. So he's watching church life since he was big enough to walk. He knows the whole schedule of what goes on in church. And he makes the announcement. He said, "Mom, Dad, when I grow up, I want to be a part-time deacon." And I said, "Son, I hate to tell you, but that office is closed. We got all the part-time deacons in Southern Baptist life we will need forever. We do not need any more of those guys." Now here was the reality. At 7 or 8 years old, he had been watching the church life, and he had been hearing and overhearing conversations and reading bulletins. "We need this, we need that, we need one of those, we need somebody to serve over here, we need this, we need that." And he thought, "You know what, that's good, but if I actually do that, they're going to really own me, and they're going to make me do all kinds of stuff, and I don't know if I want to do all that. So if I just kind of put a toe over here in deacon life, then I can get it back if I don't like all that stuff. And so I can kind of dabble with church life, dabble with ministry, but not really get in it all the way." And the reality is, there's a lot of grown-ups do that all the time. They just play around with ministry. Just dabble with serving the Lord. Now, that was a long time ago. He'll graduate from seminary this year, so I'm assuming he got over that and was ready to get past the part-time mode. And let's just look just for a moment at this matter of rewards for our service. Back up, if you're still close by 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We read that a moment ago. We see a little phrase that Paul uses that is interesting. In verse 13, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it. That phrase, the day, Paul uses often in his writings. Paul's talking about that day of judgment as believers, not the great white throne judgment in Revelation that the lost will be. This is our judgment. We will one day stand in the presence of a holy, perfect Christ, and I don't think any of us in our finite minds really know what that's going to be like or fully comprehend what that day is going to be. But he will look at us, look at our work, see the summation of our life and those opportunities that we have taken in ministry and service and the sharing of our faith in the power of the Spirit, and we will hear, I believe, a well done from the Lord. This will not be a time of condemnation. Romans 8:1 tells us that. But it will be a reality for us of opportunities that we'll be aware of that we walked away from, that we have had loss, missed opportunities, areas of service, times that the Holy Spirit opened a door for us, wide open, and we didn't go through it. Maybe it was an opportunity of just simply omission. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention. I wasn't discerning enough, and it went right by me. Or possibly one that was laid right before us, and we said, no, I don't have time for that right now. I've got this, I've got this, I've got that going on, I've got this in my life. I don't have time for that. That's an inconvenience in my schedule right now. That's out of my comfort zone. I'm going to let that pass on by, and we will have missed the blessing and the reward that Christ in Revelation 22 says, I'm coming quickly, and my reward for you is with me. There are opportunities all around Eastwood Baptist Church where I can get plugged in, I can find my spiritual gift, and use my talents to be maximized by the Lord. As Paul says, in that day, we're going to know the absolute truth about ourselves. You may have fooled your friends, you may have fooled your family, you may have fooled the people at Eastwood, you may have fooled the staff, but my friend, I can assure you, you're not going to fool Jesus. He knows perfectly. As Hebrews 6 says, he will remember everything you've done in service. No job too small. Everything. And we'll experience the blessings or the rewards or the loss from missed times. Third and final area I want us to look at is the inheritance and rewards. Let me just give you this one. Now somebody comes along and says, wait a minute, Lane, I thought our inheritance was eternal. It is, but I'm talking about rewards now that will be immediate for the believer when we get to heaven. Remember Revelation 22:12? The rewards will be for our life lived here before we receive our inheritance. Our inheritance is eternal, but the rewards are for what we've done here. One of the strongest warnings Jesus ever gave was in Matthew 25, where the parable of the talents, where one of the servants had five talents, and he invested it wisely, multiplied his work. To another one, he had two talents, invested it wisely, multiplied his work. And to the one who just had one, what did that servant say? I thought I might lose it, so I put it away, so I wouldn't do anything with it. Whatever spiritual gift you have, I hope that's not what you've done with it. I hope you've not kept it all shiny and new and clean and pretty and pristine, but it's worn, it's used, because you put it into practice. One thing is very evident here: the rewards we receive will last for eternity. What we lose in the judgment, we do not gain back by working for God in heaven. Can't do it. What we lose here, we lose forever. And what we gain here, we gain forever. There's no purgatory. There's no makeup time. There's no fix-it time. When this life ends for you, it petrifies for eternity. Your work and your service and your ministry. The Bible never says This book never says on any page that we're all going to have it equally the same in heaven. Now, we'll be there if we're in Christ, but there's no implication that we're all going to enjoy heaven exactly the same. Because what I did here, what I did in my ministry, my service, will have a direct reaction as I enter into that day with the Lord in heaven. You know what that says to me? It's not too late to start. Not too late to start. If I still got breath in my lungs, there's still something I can do for the Lord. There's still something I can do to serve Eastwood Baptist Church. Oh, I know we can't do everything we used to could do. These old bodies don't work like they used to. We're getting a little older, and time changes. But if you're still here, He's got a responsibility for you. Have you found it? Let's make sure we do. Father, thank You that we have seen Your integrity, that we have looked at our motivation, that we know we have an inheritance that You have provided for us. Father, if some of us were to be called home this afternoon and we were to stand before You, and there's not a one of us in this room, Father, that could say with certainty that won't happen to us. We know for a fact that won't happen because we don't have our life in our hands. You do. And Father, if He called us home this afternoon and we stood before our Lord and Master and He said, give an account for your life, what would we say? What would we have to show for our work, our ministry, and our service? Not just possibly at Eastwood Baptist Church, but all throughout our walk with You, maybe many different churches. And Father, for that person that may be here that's a little unsure about what they would say at all, Father, maybe for the very first time they need to enter into a growing, abiding, maturing relationship with You. Father, for that family that's looking for a place to begin to serve, what a wonderful time and opportunity for that to happen at Eastwood Baptist Church. Father, You work in our hearts and lives this morning, and we'll give You the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand with me?